Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real good. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome in once again. The Rob Brown Show starts now. Howdy, y'all. Great to be with you. Happy Monday, my dudes and dudettes. 6 a.m. on the dot. And it is time. Officially. To rock and roll this relatively dreary upstate Monday morning. It looks like we're going to have some gross rolling through the area over the next couple of hours. I don't know why I'm being booed. I'm simply reporting the news, not making it.
I'm booing the rain,
yeah,
dude.
I know.
You know what? Why would I boo you?
Lots of reasons. Lots of reasons. But I haven't given you one so far this morning. That other seductive voice you hear this morning is, of course, that of the great one himself, Lonzo, on charge of the ones and twos this AM. I'd ask how your weekend was, Lonzo, but it's pretty good. Your Buckeyes, as I told you, they will be not only in great one, but in and getting to host in round one, the Tennessee Volunteers coming to town.
So disappointed.
Why?
Because I wanted them to play Clemson.
Clemson, of course, after a thrilling and electrifying dub that, I got to tell you, there's some hero ball that got played late in that one. I was on the field standing just a handful of feet over to the right of where that field goal, the game winner, the walk-off from Nolan Hooser, went through the uprights.
So wait, you were not in the press box? You decided to go down on the field?
For the ending, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was up there for the most. I got to be down on the field for the up until about 15 minutes before kickoff. And then we were asked to depart the field right before kickoff. And then when the game was concluding, we were allowed to go back down there with about 5 minutes left to play.
So you can crowd the winners or losers and ask them questions.
Yeah, basically. Okay. I was in the chaos as Clemson was rushing the field, as SMU was trying to make their way off. I was in the chaos. I will simply say, and I understand this entirely. The boys were a little ramped up to be doing interviews right then. There wasn't much that I was able to get. And even the couple of interviews that I tried to snag down there on the field, there was a whole lot of, shall we say, unairable commentary in the background from various places that made pulling together audio to utilize a little difficult. A little tough. A lot of shall we say, explicit language taking place around the football field as Clemson walked off, or I should say walked up to the podium, and SMU walked off. But I will simply say that your Clemson Tigers are the 2024 ACC champions and are in the playoffs, interestingly enough, going in as the 12th seed. Going in as the 12th seed. A seed behind, and this one I don't understand. A seed behind the team that they literally beat to get in. a seed behind SMU. Now, I mean, I do get it. SMU was 11-2. Clemson was 10-3. So, you know, the entirety of the record was obviously in favor of SMU. They get the nod. They get to go in as the higher seed. It was just kind of jarring to see Clemson end up seated behind a spot. And remember, the seedings are not the rankings. That is not what they are there for. But seated a spot behind a team that they had beat 12 hours before the rankings came out. So there's something interesting about that. There's something else that's interesting about this bracket. And I was talking a little bit about this, had some of the fellas come over last night and hang out in the backyard, lit up a nice little backyard bonfire to watch Lonzo's Chiefs. Even the doinks go Kansas City's way. It's at this point, I have come to the conclusion, and you can't talk me out of it, Taylor Swift is actually a witch. She's actually, and I'm not talking a witch like,
she wasn't there last night.
It doesn't matter.
I don't believe that witches really can cast magic, but if they could, I think there's a limitation on distance. And she was in Canada, I believe, finishing up the Eras tour. So there's no way that she could have. Now, she might have some minor witches that were in the crowd that will handle the spells for her. But I don't think that, I think, you know, according to Harry Potter, you got to make eye contact.
So, Harry Potter's fake. Taylor Swift is actually really clearly a witch.
All right,
there's no more debate about that. She somehow, I don't know what it was, if it was like a weather spell that she cast, or if there was some sort of hex that she put on the goalposts. I don't know what the case was last night, but very clearly, if even the doinks go through for you. I've seen 100 doinks in my life. 2 of them have gone through. That was last night.
It was a very difficult game when you got to play with the refs going against you the entire time.
Oh, stop.
Still you're able to. I think if you look, you'll find out that there are more calls against Kansas City than there were against the other team. And that's something they have to deal with everywhere they go, especially in Baltimore and Buffalo. But luckily, they weren't playing in Baltimore.
You know, the frustrating thing for the people out there is trying to figure out whether you're not, or you're joking. That's the fun game. Is Lonzo being serious with this?
Do I not look serious?
Oh, it's not about how you look. That's the art that you have accomplished, by the way. San Diego, fewer Chargers, half the penalty yards. Chargers penalized 7 times for 50 yards. Kansas City, 8 times for 98 yards.
Thank you. That's nearly twice as much.
That is nearly twice as much. You're not wrong. Okay, so we're going to come back to the NFL, but we've got to dial in on this bracket because here's interesting. Clemson goes in as the 12th seed. They are on the road in Austin, Tejas in round number 1, taking on the SEC runners-up, the Texas Longhorns. I don't know that it would have been a whole hell of a lot better for you had Georgia lost to Texas, because then you would have been going to Athens. I mean, at least in Athens, maybe you would have had a chance to get a few people there. Although I'm going to say this, sorry to start it off with the heater. Stadium had maybe 30,000 people in it Saturday night. Maybe 30,000 people.
Yeah, I couldn't wait to ask you that question.
Maybe 30,000 people.
I was curious about that because I didn't see the crowd a whole lot.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. They were never going to show it. Maybe 30,000 people.
So it was like some AEW camera work, was it?
It was excellent cinematography to keep the entire empty upper bowl out of the frame.
But was the majority of the crowd Clemson?
It was majority Clemson for sure, but it was a bad turnout. Like it was a bad. I have never been, just so we're clear, and I think those of you that have been listening to this show for any length of time can confirm this. I have never been the dude that goes in on some of the weaker, in my opinion, weaker commentary. Oh, you know, South Carolina travels better than Clemson. That means that they're better than Clemson. It's lazy. All right. Trying to generate rage that way is lazy. So I've never done it. But what were y'all doing Saturday night? Because that stadium had maybe 30,000 people in it. It was, I'll put it this way. I was going up, and friend of the show, Joey B., Clemson guy, he texted me Saturday morning. And he's like, dude, are you still going up to the ACC title game? I was like, yeah. He goes, you want to ride together? I bought a ticket. I'm going up. I was like, yeah, we might as well. Yeah, for sure. Meet me up here at, meet me up here about 3:30. We'll take off. Our buddy Jack texted. And he's like, y'all going up still? I said, yeah. He goes, I haven't bought a ticket, but I think we'll go up. And I said, yeah, for sure. Come on with it. So he goes, I'm going to go ahead and grab a ticket. He grabbed a ticket, Lonzo, at about 4:45 on game day. Grabbed the ticket. He goes, all right, it's done. It's like it was I think he said it was $40, $41, something like that.
Wow.
He was two rows back behind the Clemson end zone. You can see him on camera where the field goal goes through. Two rows back, $42. He was sitting two rows back in the back of the end zone that had the Clemson logo down on it. $42 to get in the building. $42 he's in the building, sitting two rows back. I was walking around the field and like genuinely was like, where the hell is everybody? This is a game. And you know, if it's a Duke's Mayo Bowl or whatever, it's like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. It's a bowl game. It's mean. This was a game that was going to determine whether or not you had a postseason worth discussing. This was a game that was going to determine if you were going to the college football playoffs or the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not... This is never. I'm sorry to do it because it's never been my style. It's not the way I like to run a show. I think there's a lot of rage bait hosts out there, and I do my damnedest not to be one of them. I really do. But there's a lot of question marks I have about that. I am. I don't know. I just assumed, and I guessed incorrectly, that if that team was playing for an ACC title game right up the road in Charlotte, North Carolina, backs against the wall, playoffs on the line, end of season, if not, I expected that there was going to be, you know, I'm not even saying that I thought that they would fill up an NFL stadium, but I genuinely thought there'd be more than, I will be generous and say there were 35 to 37,000 in there. Generous saying 35 to 30,000 because I think it was closer to 30. And while it was loud. There was good energy. Granted, I was down on the field. There was good energy down there. But I don't know really how to describe it. It felt almost like anticlimactic to some degree. I mean, obviously, it was a fantastic game. Like, it was a phenomenal game. SMU comes storming all the way back. They put up 17 in the fourth quarter. They almost shut out Clemson in the fourth quarter. ESPN is saying there was 53,000 in that building. Okay. I don't believe you at all. Excellent game. SMU comes storming back. They make it a contest. Clemson gets a kickoff return that was stellar. They get a couple of clutch plays out of Cade Klubnik. They get down. And keep in mind, this is a Clemson team that has been struggling with the special teams unit all year long, with the field goal unit specifically all year long. There was a stat that blew my mind that something like up through week 10, 30% of their field goals had been blocked or deflected. Pardon me. It was a weird number, and so for them to walk it off on a Hoosier field goal is, you know, to be cliche, in some ways almost poetic. But I was kind of taken aback by the lack of people there. I had been telling people all week long, you know, here come Los Tigres. This team is going to, This team is going to fill up the stadium. The Tiger fans from the upstate, the Tigers fans from North South Carolina, the Tiger fans from Charlotte. I expect that this is going to be a clear-cut Clemson home field advantage. And there was a bit of one. I will tell you, the SMU fans that came up were great. The SMU fans that came up were into the game. They were loud. When Jennings led the team down the field to tie that ball game up on their last drive with 16 seconds left to play, which, by the way, how do you not go for two? How do you not just try to go end the ball game? You know what I mean? Like, go win the game. But when they scored, that touchdown, I was actually standing behind the SMU bench. So I was between the SMU fans and the SMU players. And they were absolutely lit. It was, as the kids say, turnt.
See, here's what I believe it is. I'm going to give the Clemson fans benefit of the doubt. They knew they were going to the playoff. They knew they were going to win that game. And so they had to decide, do I pay to go to Charlotte, or do I save my money to pay to go, you know, to the first round of the playoffs? And that's what they did. They saved their money, so they're going to show up for.
Listen to you defending
for that. That's what they
defending
did.
The Clemsonites.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what they did.
Listen to you defending Clemson. Listen, what is happening? Listen, the Christmas season is upon us.
There is no way that this rabid fan base that cares so much about their team would not, you know, show up without there being some reason, because they love that team so much. Of course they're there. They're Tigers. They're always there. And so that's got to be the reason. It couldn't be that they thought they were going to lose and the season was over. It couldn't be that they still were hung over from the defeat to the South Carolina Gamecocks. It couldn't be that. It's they're looking forward, because they're forward thinking kind of people and knew that they were going to win this game, and they just needed to save money for the playoffs.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It was interesting. They're saying the official attendance was 50,000. I would have put it closer to 40.
You've said many times that you're not good with math. So maybe it was 50,000.
I mean, maybe it was. They say 53,808. I don't believe. I will say confidently it was not 53,000. 53,000 at Bank of America. Bank of America seats. Seats, I believe, 75-ish. How many seats in, I can't type this morning, Bank of America Stadium, 74,006. Yeah, that's sitting at three quarters full.
Other
that
than
stadium
the Chiefs
was not three
game,
quarters
this
full.
Is probably the fullest the stadium's been all year.
Probably close, honestly.
So when you've been there, have you gone this year? Yeah, you went to the New Orleans game.
Yeah.
How full was that?
Probably about the same.
Okay, all right.
Probably about the same. Probably about 40,000. Probably 30. I'm going to let you say 40, but I think 40 is the max I'm going to say was there. And again, at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. There's no points awarded for fans in the stand. 34 points is 34, whether there's 34,000 or 134,000 people watching, the 34 points happen.
So if there was, you know, a grade for the amount of people that Clemson would have got a seat.
For traveling party? No, I'm giving it like a D. You were playing.
It's like an hour and a half. I don't know how far it is from Clemson to there, but it's still not that far.
It was 2:15 from my front door in Taylor. So you're looking at right about 3 hours or so to get there. I'm going to tell you right now, and again, I'm not the standard. My team is playing 3 hours away with a playoff berth on the line and elimination with an L. I'm in the car driving 3 hours, and I don't know, man. I was just disappointed. Now, we're going to talk about the X's and the O's. There is one more criticism that I have about Clemson that I have to get to as well. We'll see how it all shapes up. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, talking college football in hour number one of the Rob. I don't know why that started. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Let's take a look at our college football playoff bracket as it stands. The 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds, all four catching a bye. The Oregon Ducks obviously get in as the number one seed. Number two goes to Georgia as they knock off Texas for the second time this year. This one in the SEC championship game. That makes them one of the highest ranked four conference champions. The highest five, of course, Clemson being the fifth highest ranked conference champion, ends up in the 12th spot. But one goes to Oregon, two to Georgia, three to the Mountain West-based Boise State Broncos, the four seed handed to the Big 12 champions, the Arizona State Sun Devils. Now, the matchups that those teams will be waiting for. One game on December 20th. That is when the 10 and the 7 seed will match up. Indiana. Kurt Cignetti, he wins. Google him. Finds his way in. The Indiana Hoosiers are the 10 seed. They will take on Notre Dame, the number 7 seed. The winner of that game, will get Georgia in round number 2. That game is on 12/20. December 21st, my dear friends, is going to be a massive day because not only is that the Upstate Pulse Christmas Spectacular taking place on our brother station, WORD. But on top of that, we got all the playoff games that day. We got all the playoff games on 12/21.
I was worried you were going to come down with something when I saw the date for all that. It's like, okay, should I plan accordingly?
I will be there, so I can take 2 hours out of my day to show up here and put on perhaps the most electrifying. Sabrina Carpenter, take a back seat. The Upstate Pulse is about to show you a variety show you've never seen before.
And my team will be playing while we're on the air, but, you know, professional. It's what I did.
Just move it up a week. It's your show.
No, it's not ready. Ain't no way we could do it this weekend.
That is 12/20 Indiana Notre Dame. On 12/21, we start at noon with SMU and Penn State up in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. That game is at noon, the 11-6 matchup. The ACC runners-up, SMU, find their way in. They bump Bama and Miami out of the way to earn the last spot, despite being the 11 seed, one higher than the lowest seed. And by the way, Zoe, fortuitous for SMU because they get big game James Franklin of the Penn State Nittany Lions, who got spanked by Oregon in the Big Ten title game. And then if they win that one, who does the winner of this game move on to play? The three-seeded Boise State. Now, all due respect to the Smurfs, but Zoe, if I asked you which of the four teams on the first round bye would you most want to see in round two, I think we would all agree it's Boise State. So SMU, by losing the ACC title game, ends up in a more fortuitous position, I think, than Clemson does. Because they got to go, yeah, it's Penn State. Happy Valley's going to be rocking. But they go to Happy Valley at noon. This is not a 7 o'clock. The fans have gotten good and drunk and liquored up all day for a 7 or 8 o'clock kick. No, no. It's a noon kick.
You know, here's the thing. I don't know if they're going to white out, but if they do, it's more effective during the day. Because at night, you can't see it as well as you can during the day.
I don't know. I agree with that. I think the white out, though, is less about what you can see in the stands and more, it's just one further step of bonding 80,000, 90,000 people together to get them on board. What's important, and listen, I'm not saying this is going to be an easy game.
This is the game that James Franklin needs because he can't win a big one. This will be considered a big one, but this is the opponent he needs.
Oh, if you listen, respectfully to SMU.
So he can say, hey, I won a big game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I honestly almost kind of think he'd have probably rather caught Indiana, right? Like, Indiana.
I mean, that would have been a good story, but they don't put these together for stories.
No, they do not. I do think it is interesting
that SMU loses the ACC title game, and I think they got an easier path than Clemson did. Clemson's got to go to Austin, Texas. Now, is Austin, Texas an easier place to play than Happy Valley? No. I don't know if it is.
Yeah, weather-wise.
Weather is a big factor. It is going to, we'll see when we get a little closer what the forecast is. Yes, I imagine that weather-wise, Austin, Texas is a nicer destination. It's a loud stadium. I don't think that I would say that either Happy Valley or Austin, Texas is an easy place, or either one is easier than the other to step in as the bad guys with a crowd full throat behind the home team. But if you go to Austin and get this win, you're catching Arizona State in round two. That one is off the bye on New Year's Day. Now, let's start with this. I really like Arizona State. I really do. I think Arizona State has been quietly, they are 11-2. This is a team that does have a couple of bad losses on the schedule. They took a loss to Texas Tech. They took a loss to Cincinnati. Lost by 8 to Texas Tech. Lost by 10 to Cincinnati. But both of those were way earlier in the season. They have played good ball since then. They doubled up Oklahoma State. They knocked off UCF, Kansas State, who was ranked at the time, BYU, who was ranked at the time. They smoked Arizona, and they beat the dog snot out of Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game. This team is kind of scary to me a little bit. Scataboo has over 1,500 yards rushing this year and 19 touchdowns on the ground. If it wasn't for Ashton Janti being Ashton Janti, Scataboo would be probably a Heisman thought as a running back. He just picked a year, unfortunately, to break out that maybe the best running back we've seen since Bo Jackson is doing what he's doing for Boise State.
I mean,
State.
He's good. I don't know if I put him there yet. We'll see what he does.
He
in the
missed
playoffs.
Setting the all-time single season record by 167 yards.
Right, so you can't.
Whole time.
You can't put him there yet.
I said since. I didn't say ever, just so we're clear.
He's fun to watch.
He's really spectacular to watch. That, though, when I look at the bracket, that is a very interesting setup to me because you get Arizona State, who can run the football. It's a good team. But again, of the teams you could square off with in the second round, I think you either want, I mean, I want Boise State, and SMU got them. Clemson is going to have to be almost perfect defensively for two games in a row. And you can go, oh, wait a minute, we looked a lot better, and they did. SMU put up 17 points in the fourth quarter. There was no need for that game to need Nolan Hoosier heroics. You shouldn't have needed it. That game should have been put away well before that game was put away, and it wasn't. So, I think SMU got the easier path. Now, we had over in the chat, our buddy Zach showed up on our live stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. He said, can we all agree that Oregon got screwed out of all of this? They get to play Ohio State or Tennessee. Shouldn't the one seed get the easiest path to the college football playoff finals? I mean, they earned it during the regular season. That's just kind of how the seeding works out, right? Like, I don't disagree. Oregon might have, with the exception of, say, probably, well, honestly, Tennessee and Ohio State might have the toughest path. And the only reason it's harder for Tennessee and Ohio State is because Tennessee and Ohio State have to play each other before they get to determine who goes on to play Oregon in the Rose Bowl in round number two. But yeah, Oregon got kind of hosed. I'll tell you who woke up, I think, really happy about all this. Georgia. Georgia wins the SEC. They get the bye in the two seed. They're going to get the winner of Indiana and Notre Dame. A lot of people are very down on Indiana. In fact, as a matter of fact, coming up later, we've got some sound that I pulled from Ward Manuel, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee chair. And he was specifically asked, like, did Indiana Did Indiana get the same scrutiny to end up in the 10th seed that SMU got, that Bama and Miami got, or were they just gifted a spot because they were 11-1 in a Power 4 conference? Specifically asked about that. So we're going to continue to break down the bracket because I think Clemson, interestingly enough, has a harder path than SMU does. I think that Oregon, absolutely, I would absolutely agree that Oregon got the shaft, and I think that's a disappointment for the Ducks for sure. There's a lot that we need to break down as we keep an eye on our college football playoff bracket, inching closer day by day to crowning a national champion. All right, we're going to talk some more football. We'll talk more bracket breakdown. Look at some of the paths that are out there for Clemson to try to fight their way in and be the underdog story. For SMU, your ACC runners-up. What about Carson Beck going down for Georgia? I have been told that if you lose your starting quarterback, you can't win the national championship. I've been told that. We'll talk about how that impacts the Dogs and more. All that coming up on the Rob Brown Show. All that coming up on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, with you on a Monday morning. This week, full week. Next week, full week. Then we'll have 2 weeks that we do not have a full week. We will be in on the 23rd on Monday. We will be off for the remainder of that week after Monday. Then, the following week, we will be in on the 30th. We will be in on the 30th and 31st. I will not be off. I will be in on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve. We will be off on New Year's Day, January 1st, and then we will return to wrap up the week on the 2nd and 3rd. Once we get to Jan 6, full speed ahead, no holds barred, back to your regularly scheduled every day, the Rob Brown Show, up until I think like President's Day in mid-February or something like that's our next day off.
No, there's MLK Day in January.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Either way, you got 2 more weeks full time. Then you got 2 weeks on a weird schedule. And then we're back to the grind, baby.
And then it's almost vacation time.
Must be nice. Lonzo gets 8 weeks paid vacation. It's unbelievable.
I wish.
It's
I should.
Unbelievable.
I deserve 8 weeks, but I don't have eight weeks paid vacation. Do not.
Whoever is negotiating Lonzo's contracts, I need them. I need Zoe's agent. All right. Because this guy has a deal, man. Not only does his paycheck have a comma in the middle of the number, but he gets 8 weeks paid vacation.
There's this thing.
Solid day.
There's this thing when you make the schedule. I'm just saying.
Clemson, the 12 seed, takes on number 5, Texas. Arizona State, the 4 seed, waiting on them. Your 8-9 matchup, Tennessee, Ohio State. The 1-seeded Oregon Ducks awaits the winner of that matchup. SMU loses the ACC title game, does get the final playoff spot. They go in as the 11 seed. They will travel to Happy Valley to take on the 6 seed Penn State. The winner of that game gets the Boise State Broncos in the Fiesta Bowl on New Year's Eve. And then Indiana takes on Notre Dame. That's your 10-7 matchup. That one up in South Bend, Indiana. Winner of that game gets Georgia on New Year's Day. Your, as we mentioned, opening round games. There is one on December 20th. That is Indiana-Penn State, 8 p.m. on 12/20. That, of course, is a Friday night, a week from this Friday. Then on the 21st, 3 games. They start at noon with SMU-Penn State. It carries on to 4 p.m., Clemson and Texas, and then we wrap it up at 8 p.m. with Tennessee and Ohio State. So what did the committee get right? What did the committee get wrong? Because I will tell you, Zoe, I was locked and loaded for bear this morning. I was waiting for what is the committee going to do to tick me off with these selections? What is the committee going to inevitably get wrong that we get to crack the mic Monday morning and have a go at? It's not really much I'm mad about, honestly. There's not really that much I'm mad about. Maybe SMU going in at 11, Clemson going in at 12. Like, maybe you should have flipped those, put Clemson as the 11 seed. And really, that's not even so much like I'm upset about it as it is Clemson kind of got the shaft here. Like, they got a harder path than SMU. But as we pointed out when Zach came into the stream chat a minute ago and said, can we acknowledge that the Oregon Ducks got hosed? The only undefeated team in the bracket ended up with, I don't even want to say arguably, I just want to say objectively, the hardest path of any of the four teams that caught a first-round bye.
Record-wise, Clemson is the worst, right?
Record-wise, Clemson as a three-loss team is the worst team in the bracket, correct?
Right. So
record-wise.
So I don't think you can get the shaft, as you say, coming in as the worst team to make the – and they still got, what, 10 wins. So it's not like they're horrible. But
10
still,
with the ACC title game, yeah. Yep.
So, but they still have the most losses. And they are the team that only made it in because they won the ACC. So,
that is correct.
I mean, their path should not be easy. Actually, they should be – playing with Oregon. I agree with
that. That's kind of the thing is now they are in the bracket with Oregon. They just wouldn't meet up with them until the quarterfinals. Until the semifinals. If they were to end up facing off with the Ducks, it would be in the semifinal round with a slot to the Natty on the line. It's a tough road to hoe. I mean, you got to go to Austin, Texas and win that game. That's a tough place to go play football. You've got to, in the second round, take on an Arizona State team that might be the most, second most well-coached team in this bracket. There's only one coach I really genuinely like more, and that's Dan Lanning. I like Kurt Cignetti a lot, obviously, but that's because Kurt Cignetti is hilarious, not because I think he's like, I do think he's a good coach, but I think Kurt Cignetti is...
Is he good enough to make it out of the first round?
On the road to South Bend's going to be tough, dude. Now, the good news is they're also from Indiana. There's no real weather advantage in that one. We are absolutely going to be talking about weather advantages for a couple of these teams. Obviously, Penn State has a weather advantage over a team out of Dallas, Texas. I don't know that Ohio State has any weather advantage over the Tennessee Volunteers. I mean, it's
No, as we talked about Friday, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air.
But it was on.
The temperature was the same exact in both places at the same time. So, it's not going to be that different.
So, it may only be the Nittany Lions that have a weather advantage in round one. It's going to be nice in Austin. Well, nice as December can be in Austin, Texas for Clemson. In fact, if anything, Clemson would be the team that's more likely used to playing in colder weather. So it'll be nice down in Austin. Tennessee, Ohio State, couple of teams that play in colder weather. SMU out of Dallas going to Penn State. That's really the only game with a weather advantage in round one. Indiana's from right down the road from South Bend, Indiana. So there's not much of an advantage to be had there for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. What's your favorite first round game? I mean, it's got to be Tennessee, Ohio State, right? It's got to be Tennessee.
I've got bias.
Not because of your team, just in terms of what's on the paper. Tennessee, Ohio State's got to be in. I love Indiana, but Indiana's the team I have the most questions about now that it's time to stop being entertained by Mr. I Win Google Me and start being entertained by what are these football teams doing?
I'm guessing, without looking at the odds, that that's probably the hardest game to pick.
Tennessee, Ohio State?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that is the...
I'm guessing all the other ones probably have a clear... Maybe Notre Dame and Indiana, but I think out of all of them, that's got to be the hardest to pick.
I would bet, off the top of my head, before I pull up the lines, I would say Ohio State Tennessee is probably damn close to a pick'em game. I'm going to say, Lonzo, Notre Dame is favored by touchdown in the hook, 7.5. That's going to be my guess. Let me pull them up. All right, nailed Indiana Notre Dame. Notre Dame favored by 7.5 on the money. Nailed that one. I said Tennessee, Ohio State. I'm looking pick'em game. Zoe, you are also favored by 7.5. A full touchdown plus the hook.
Have they seen Will Howard play?
That's fair. That's fair.
When he's on, he's good. But when he's not, it's not. It's ugly.
Your opening round matchup games go this way. Notre Dame minus 7.5 over Indiana. Penn State minus 8.5 over SMU. Tennessee, Ohio State, the Buckeyes favored by 7.5. Texas is a 10.5 point favorite over Clemson. The only line out of that number that really shocks me is Ohio State favored by the touchdown and the hook. I would have probably been more comfortable with Ohio State like minus 3.5. 7.5 feels like a big number against Nico. I mean, I swear, dude, I can say it when I'm not behind the microphone. Nico Iamaliava. There we go.
I have those problems, too. Hopefully, after that game, you won't have to worry about saying his name again until the next year. I got to be honest, I haven't watched Tennessee play all year, so I don't know.
It's a good team. Good team. A lot of speed on the outside.
They're fast. They're there for a reason, so they've got to be pretty good, but we'll see.
I don't know. I was ready to come in here, Zoe, and I was ready to be mad at the committee. I was ready to come in here and talk about the absolute atrocities, but they did the right thing and left Bama and Miami out.
You're ready for Alabama, and that didn't happen. And it's like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm like any Karen. I was ready for anything to complain about. I was gearing up for anything. I was waiting for there to be one inevitable thing to be mad about, but there's not really anything about this bracket that I necessarily think is wrong. Now, there are going to be a bunch of folks who are going to say that, you know, the 12 best teams aren't in there. You know, I'll take Bama over Indiana any day of the week. I take, you know, South Carolina over SMU. And I'm not going to push back and be like, straight up, you are wrong about this. But I do think that I said this last night to a couple of the fellas. I had a buddy of mine over that last night who's a South Carolina fan. And he was making the argument that, you know, he said, Rob, right now, if SMU played South Carolina, what would you set the line on that game? And I'm like, honestly, probably South Carolina minus 3.5, maybe 4.5, somewhere in that market. And he goes, does that not by default make them the better team? I said, yeah, no, for sure. I think South Carolina is better than SMU. I'm not going to argue with that. What I am going to say is, part of being one of the 12 best teams is that you have got to be one of the best teams from start to finish. Like, I am not just looking at who's hottest in the moment, like who's the hottest team right now. I do think that we have to, the one thing that I think gets devalued before anything else, the one thing that I think gets devalued the most is regular season success or failure. Like we have minimized, or some of you try to minimize success from week one to week 14 in favor of who's playing the best football in week 14. And I think the only thing I would have an issue with is you are effectively devaluing full-length regular season success by saying we should do power rankings to get in, you know, and not overall accomplishments.
Speaking of that, if I were a conference guy, I would be gloating right now. Luckily, I'm not conference guy, but if I were a conference guy, I'd be going, see, the Big Ten's the best. I told you.
You have, out of the Big Ten, the Ohio State Buckeyes, the Oregon Ducks, the Penn State Nittany Lions, and the Indiana Hoosiers. Out of the SEC, you got Georgia, you got Texas, and you got Tennessee. Again, these are the four teams that are the Big Ten. This is the Big Ten.
Right, and what it goes along with what you were talking about, regular season and how it's important. And how all these teams won, and they did.
Indiana lost one game to Ohio State. Penn State lost to Ohio State and to Oregon. Oregon lost to no one. I mean, I get it. Like, I If you lined up Indiana and South Carolina right now, as much as I love Indiana, it's been a fun story. I'd take South Carolina. If you lined up South Carolina and SMU right now, I'd take South Carolina.
Me too.
If you lined up South Carolina, Boise State, although I do think, boy, I think there's a little disrespect on Boise State's name. If you line up South Carolina and Boise State, I'd be hard-pressed not to tell you I'm not taking South Carolina.
Yeah, they haven't played a defense like South Carolina.
Yeah, so I don't disagree. So with all of those things put together, I agree that power-ranked today, South Carolina probably beats 3-4 maybe of the bottom half of the bracket. I mean, they beat Clemson a week ago.
Saban was butthurt. I mean, he was very upset.
Yeah, and I will say this. I am going to come after Nick later on, and I do like Nick Saban, TV guy. But I'm going to come after Nick later because he was on there going, oh, you know, this just decentivizes, tough out-of-conference scheduling. You know who Bama played out of schedule this year or out of conference this year? South Florida, Western Kentucky, Wisconsin, and Mercer. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, Nick, right, so maybe
Wisconsin's the best team out of that.
A five-loss Wisconsin team, by the way.
It's not saying a lot.
Yeah. Those are the teams that Bama played at, and Nick was yesterday. And again, I actually like Nick. I like playoff breakdown, Nick. I think he's done a good job. But Nick was on there like yesterday, like, well, you know, Alabama's got a tough schedule, and this just kind of disincentivizes playing tough out-of-conference games. I'm like Mercer? And Southern Florida, Wisconsin, and Western Kentucky, Nick? Nick, if you had a real good squad up there that helped you out with this argument, I'd be good with it, bud. But like those might not be the teams that you want to prop up as the reason that, you know, Alabama should get in. Now, Alabama does have games out of conference coming up over the next couple of years against Florida State, against Clemson. Like there are some good out of conference games. And Greg Burns, the AD at Alabama, said yesterday, and we're going to talk about this coming up later in the show, he said yesterday that his staff was going to evaluate out-of-conference scheduling for college football. Listen, this isn't a shock. I said this when the 12-team playoff rolled out and we started talking about division winners getting auto bids and all that. One of the things I pointed out was, in the quest for more dollars, the ultimate victim here is going to be the fans. Because while we are going to get a much more entertaining playoff, I'm not going to disagree with that. While we are going to get a much more entertaining playoff, we are absolutely, without a doubt, going to lose good, intriguing top 25 out-of-conference matchups. And I think now, based on what we've seen, the argument is, why would you play a tough out-of-conference game if a team like Indiana, who, what was it, like six out of their eight conference games were against the bottom six teams in the Big Ten. And then there was Ohio State and like whoever, one of the teams that was on the schedule that was in the middle of the Big Ten. Like, as friendly of a conference schedule as anybody has ever played for Indiana, and it was good enough to get them in. So, you know, Greg Burns, the AD at Alabama was like, we are going to evaluate scheduling out-of-conference games. Yeah, of course you are. So is everybody else. You're not going to see a lot of those anymore. Why would you? You lose them, you're cooked. Why would you? All right, we're going to talk a lot more college football. We're going to get into the NFL in hour number two as well, because we do have our second division winner clinched. Kansas City wins the AFC West last night. We got to talk about that. You got to be done with Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, dude. You got to be done with Kirko now. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more after Lonzo rubs your ears with the glorious sounds of this sports flash.
All right. So usually if Rob mentions something, I won't start with that because, you know, I don't like how that works. But wow. I'm going to anyway. The Kansas City Chiefs clinched the AFC West last night as they beat the LA Chargers with a doink field goal off the left upright, 19-17. Patrick Mahomes with 24-37 for 210 yards and a touchdown. The Chiefs improved to 12-1 on the season and have won the AFC West for the ninth year in a row. With a walk-off win in the ACC championship game, the Clemson Tigers officially made the college football playoff bracket. The 12th-seeded Tigers will travel to Austin to take on the number 5-seed Texas Longhorns, with the winner getting number 4 Arizona State in the second round. Ohio State will host Tennessee, with number 1 Oregon waiting for the winner. ACC runners-up SMU will travel to Penn State, with the winner taking on Boise State. Tune in Saturday, 11:30, as the Furman Paladins take on the South Carolina State Bulldogs. It's Furman versus SC State right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, The Fan.